sharing some of your testimony with us today. As God speaks to us through that, speaking to us through Scripture, like I emphasized earlier, we'll open the Scriptures to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 19. Writer says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Therefore, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Let us pray. O Lord, shepherd of this flock, we offer you again now a sacrifice of praise from our lips in all that we've sung and prayed and spoken here today. Pray now that the words that come from my lips will be a sacrifice of praise to you, and that our attentiveness, responsiveness to your word will be a sacrifice of praise to you as well. Just be praised in all that continues to happen here in our midst by the power of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you come into our church, you're greeted by live people, but it helps to think that in some respects you're also greeted by dead ones. They aren't necessarily standing visibly before you, but they are present by name. Their names appear on various plaques that decorate one of the walls out there in the vestibule. These men and women are remembered for their faithful commitment to and their generosity toward various aspects of our church's life and mission. Maybe it was worship. Maybe it was Christian education. Maybe it was something regarding buildings and grounds, or music, or service to the community. The largest item on the wall contains little plaques assembled together of deacons, past and present. So some of those deacons listed there are now deceased. And even though they're no longer with us in this life in the way that they were before, we're still connected to them in Christian fellowship through Jesus the Son, and their example is still with us too, because it continues to guide us in our own journey of faith here and now where we are. Remember your leaders is the way our scripture passage begins today. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, according to the writer of Hebrews, there are many things about the church's leaders that are worth emulating, in particular, their faith, the kind of lives that it produced, lives that were attentive and responsive to what God had said and was saying through Jesus the Son, lives that were centered on Christ and his cross. Though these godly leaders may no longer be with them, they're told Jesus is still with us. Those leaders may not be here the way that they were before, but Jesus is still with us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. John Wesley was an 18th century pastor and evangelist. He and his brother Charles wrote some of the hymns that are included in our hymnal that we sing. And at Westminster Abbey in London, John's memorial marker has this inscription on it: God buries his workmen, but he carries on his work. God buries his workmen, but he carries on his work. I think that's part of what the writer of Hebrews was trying to convey to the congregation here in this morning's text. Though many things may change in the life of the church, including many of God's people in the church, the Lord himself is unchanging, and that's why he needs to be the focal point of all things, the focal point of worship, focal point of the church's witness, focal point of the church's work, which means that a truly godly life, well, a truly godly life is measured by how much it points really away from itself to the Lord. That's godliness. I like the way that one pastor has put it when he says, memories of godly lives help best when they turn us to the one who never needs to be replaced, Jesus, and who is permanently available to his people. Now remember that we, as God's people, are still on our journey of faith toward the destination that God has for us and has promised in Christ. And in order to persevere in faith, we need not only the Christ-like example of those who were deceased, we need also the Christ-like example of those who are living, who are still presently at our side in the life of our congregation, and who stand not only beside us, but also stand before us every Sunday. In one respect, I mean that literally, especially when it comes to our deacons. It's no minor thing, really, that after our opening segment of praise music, the first person who comes up here to be with you, to look at you, to have you see them, first person is not myself, but one of our lay leaders, a deacon. A man or woman called to the Deacon of the Month ministry. Deacon of the Month. Now that has a certain ring to it. Doesn't necessarily mean that they get a special parking space closer to the entrance of the church, or maybe more attentiveness in the focal space of our sanctuary, the pulpit here. It simply means that each Sunday for that particular month, this particular deacon, whoever it is, has a sacred and significant responsibility to lead us into the presence of God. And that's because of what we hear in our scripture passage today. Jesus' death for our sins has secured our forgiveness and given us access to the presence of God in the first place. We can't take that for granted or neglect that or overlook that. Being in the presence of God has been opened up to us because of Jesus' sacrifice for us in our sins, for us to be able to have communion with God. We have access to the Father through the self-sacrifice of the Son. So as today's text says, through Jesus. Therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And our deacons play a critical role in helping us make that weekly offering of a sacrifice of praise, and daily too in various ways. For instance, a deacon like you've seen today and every Sunday greets you and leads us through the sharing of our announcements, prayer requests. Then he or she does something especially significant by leading the call to worship, which is usually a passage from the book of Psalms, a text that summons us into God's presence so that we as God's people can offer our praise and receive his word for our lives. Then after the call to worship, the deacon leads us in an opening prayer, which summons us into God's presence, invokes the presence of God here with us as we worship. Put all those pieces together, and you can see how the deacon worship leader is really charged with summing up the whole purpose of this gathering. Why are we here? Why have we been brought together here on this occasion, on this day? Come, worship the Lord. That's why we're here. And the deacon of the month, who's here where I am right now at this pulpit, helps us by leading us into the presence of God and keeping our focus. Now, as I described, some of the things that a deacon is doing, especially the deacon of the month here in the context of worship, you may have noticed that the word lead comes up repeatedly. The deacon leads us into the presence of God, leads us in reading and hearing scripture, leads us in prayer, leads us in sharing our joys and concerns. When the deacon stands up here before us on Sunday morning, part of what he or she is doing is fulfilling a call to leadership. Leadership, and that applies not only to worship, but to the other areas that are part of a deacon's ministry too. Caring for people in the church individually, as his families too. Sharing the gospel with believers and unbelievers. Ministering to financial and material needs in the congregation or community. Cultivating the life and health and unity of the congregation. Being available for consulting with the church's administrative matters. Those kinds of things. Deacons are expected in all these ways to serve as leaders. They're supposed to be, in that sense, out front, ahead of the congregation, helping chart the way for the fellowship as a whole, as, like I said earlier, we continue our journey of faith toward God's promised destination for us, his purposes in Christ. And as deacons lead, they're supposed to be doing that in the spirit of servanthood, the servanthood of Christ. In other words, a deacon's life and ministry, whether it's inside the church or outside the church, should embody and reflect really the self-emptying, self-giving, self-sacrificing love of Jesus that redeems and reconciles and that restores us to God and to one another. That doesn't mean that power and authority aren't part of a deacon's role and work. They're there too. In fact, in today's text, the writer of Hebrews exhorts the members of the congregation to obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Now, though in this context, the term translated as leaders isn't necessarily a specific reference to what we call in our context deacons, the issue of authority, it's still there, still applies, as does Jesus' own teaching example. You may remember from the Gospels where some of Jesus' disciples come to him and ask him, well, who will get to have the prime seats of authority with you in your kingdom? Which ones of us will sit there at your side? And Jesus answers them, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you, he says. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now you take that kind of teaching and you couple it with Jesus' own example where he washes the feet of his own disciples, and we can see that for Jesus, power for Jesus is the way that he acts without regard for matters of privilege or status. Those kinds of things. In other words, Jesus doesn't reject power and authority. He doesn't reject it. He just rejects the way that power and authority are used to protect a place of privilege. or to guard one's status in some way. Power, we learn, isn't to be used to protect ourselves or exalt ourselves or elevate ourselves. On the contrary, we're told, power is to be used, authority in the life of God's people in the church is to be exercised in order to bless, to serve, to lift up. I like the way that author Andy Crouch puts it when he says, power's not the opposite of servanthood. Rather, servanthood, ensuring the flourishing of others, is the very purpose of power. Power exercised through servanthood. That's a big part of what the calling to the ministry of deacon is about as well. And you see that reflected in our scripture passage here from Hebrews, right after exhorting the hearers to obey their leaders, the writer reminds them that these leaders do what? They keep watch over you. They keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Now, that Greek word translated there as keep watch over, it literally means lose sleep over. It sort of captures and conveys the kind of vigilance and attentiveness that leaders must maintain as they care for the flock. That might be a matter of being on the lookout for things that might deceive believers or lead them off the track of the gospel, God's word, things that might lead them astray, things that might hinder them from becoming who God intends them to be in Christ. There's a story told about a man. He once spotted another man who was behind a group of sheep moving them across a field, and he had his stick with him, beating it behind them to get them moving along the way. And he said, I thought shepherds led their sheep. And this man said, I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher. Remember that deacons are called to be shepherds. Shepherds to lead you toward well-being in Christ, not drive you toward harm. A fundamental part of deacon ministry is to keep watch in that sense. Lose sleep over where necessary. The individuals in the flock, especially those entrusted to your particular deacon list of individuals and families that you serve and minister to. And not only to serve folks individually and as families, but to be on the lookout for the life of the whole congregation, ensuring that we stay faithful to the gospel, that we spread the word of God, that we grow and mature spiritually, that we flourish as a community of Christ people in our worship, in our work, in our witness together. And let's notice too, what's more, each of our deacons is expected to carry out this ministry with a strong sense of accountability. Accountability first and foremost to God, who has called them into this place of leadership and empowers them for their work, and accountability to you, the congregation, who has given them your blessing and affirmation in their ministry, pledged your support to their work as deacons. Deacons realize that they must answer to God for how they exercise and use the power and the authority entrusted to them in this particular ministry. They feel deeply their responsibility to lead, and to lead in ways that are wise and faithful and loving. And in order for that to happen, the accountability, it really has to be mutual. It's not only their accountability to God, but also your accountability to them as well. Deacons rightfully expect you to be responsive to their ministry in whatever ways they're seeking to serve you, whether it's here in worship or individually in some other way, so that you can flourish in what you're doing in Christ and they can flourish in what they're doing in Christ. It's no wonder that the writer of Hebrews tells the hearers to, yes, obey their leaders so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. There was a German pastor. He was addressing a group of fellow pastors, but what he says about leadership in a congregation really applies to deacons as well, I believe, when he said to these assembled pastors, I beg you, do not look upon this church, this congregation, as a stepping stone, but rather say, here I shall stay as long as it pleases God, if it be his will, until I die. Look upon every child, every member of the congregation, as if you will have to give an account for every soul on the day of the Lord Jesus. Every day, commit all these human souls from the worst and the weakest of hands, in other words, your own. Commit them into the best and strongest of hands, the Lord. Then you'll be able to carry on your ministry, not only without care, but also with joy. Joy overflowing and joyful hope, he says. Now it's true, there is a certain heaviness, a weight to deacon ministry. All of those who've been involved with it, those here today in our worship who are part of our deacon ministry can testify to that. And that's only natural when you consider the level of accountability and responsibility that goes with being a deacon in the life of God's people. It comes with that call. But even with that heaviness is also a certain joy, a joy. Joy that comes from helping shepherd the flock in ways that are deeply relational and personal. I like the way that one retired pastor has put it when he says, we are overseers, not of an organization, but of souls. We are overseers, not of an organization, but of souls. So deacons are partners with me in leading our congregation, not the congregation primarily as a collection of programs or a network of committees or a schedule of activities. All those kinds of things are important and matter. But leading and shepherding the congregation mainly as a community of faith, a fellowship of live human beings, embodied souls, people beloved and redeemed by God in Jesus Christ. So our deacons, as they engage with you and you engage with our deacons in this whole range of life experiences, part of what happens is that relationships get formed and forged, and bond grows between them and the congregation, between us and God. We're shepherding together as pastor and deacons. We're not just managing an organization. That's part of it in certain ways. Most of all, we're nurturing and cultivating and shepherding people, relationships in Christ that God has given us. It's no wonder then, really, that today's text from Hebrews ends with a request for prayer. The writer, who's speaking not only for himself at this point, but for the rest of the church's leaders, ask the congregation to remember them in prayer. Remember the leaders in prayer, that they'll continue to provide a Christ-like example, be an instrument of God's word to the congregation. And then the writer makes that prayer request even more personal by asking the congregation that he'll soon be reunited with them because for some reason, probably temporary travel of some sort, they've been separated from one another. Pray, he says, that I'll be reunited with you. Now, we could look at that as just, you know, a basic kind of prayer request, and there's some truth in that. It's understandable. But what matters, we see when we look at it more deeply and carefully in this particular place, what matters is that they, like us really, be present to one another and be in the presence of God together, making the gospel known in the world and caring for the needy, serving the community, sharing generously with one another, offering what our text calls a sacrifice of praise in every form that takes, the form that's going on here this morning, the form that goes on not just inside the walls of the church, but beyond the walls of the church as deacons help lead us and serve us and shepherd us. These are ways that deacons offer their lives to God and help all of us offer our lives to God so that as individuals and together as a church, we can be a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we praise and thank you most of all for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sins so that we could have access to your holy presence, be in communion with you and one another. First, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for our leaders in our church, especially our deacons. We pray that they will grow with me in shepherding this flock, in exercising the power and authority entrusted to us faithfully, wisely, lovingly, with accountability to you and to one another. You, most of all, our Lord, are the shepherd of this flock, so we thank you for how you continue to guide us and provide for us and lead us toward the purpose and destination that you have for us in Christ. We pray in his name.